Welcome to City of Angels Recovery Radio. This is Wellness and Recovery, sick and tired of being tired and sick. And I'm your host, Nancy Talelli, and I'm a certified holistic health coach and certified recovery coach. Tonight, I'm interviewing Chaz Bellera of Third Eye Hypnosis. This is Chaz's first time on the show, and tonight we'll be discussing his work at Third Eye Hypnosis. Welcome, Chaz.
Thank you, Nancy. It's a pleasure being with you today. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so excited to interview you tonight and find out about what you do at Third Eye. My first question, though, is just a little bit of background on you and how Third Eye came to be.
Okay. Well, I myself got into hypnosis several years ago when a good friend of mine who is actually a recovering addict was on a phone call with me, and during our conversation, she had just kind of mentioned, I wonder if I could be hypnotized to learn how to forget about certain, you know, less than positive events in my past. And I didn't think about it too much at the time. We just carried on with our conversation, but like any good post-hypnotic suggestion, it really got into my subconscious. And a few days to a week later, I started to think about that question and proceeded to research the field of hypnotherapy and what it was able to do. And was very surprised at all that it was able to do to help people make incredible transformations in their life. So I went on to continue to research and then got certified at the Center for Success in Wayne, PA. And after I completed that course, which was fantastic, I really learned a lot and had a great experience, I said to myself, let me take a page from NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and use modeling. So in modeling, what we do is look at people that have been very successful and model what they do. So I started to research some of the top hypnotherapists in the world and see what their methods were, and became a bit of a hypno-geek. So in all my free time, I would watch video courses, read, go to seminars, and just get any information on hypnotherapy that I could, and started utilizing that in my program, taking what worked well and leaving what I just didn't feel or connect with and leaving that behind. Around the same time, I had an interest in the third eye, which is our pineal gland. And there's a lot of spiritual things that go into that, which we won't get into on this particular interview, but just had a real passion for it. So named my business Third Eye Hypnosis.
Wow. So it sounds amazing. I mean, I love the modeling thing because I'm in recovery too. And, you know, my show is, you know, Wellness in Recovery. It sounds akin to recovery, you know, take what you need, leave the rest. That modeling, you know, you do what works, you do what the other guy's doing, if it works, you know, that kind of thing. So I love how that sounds. Can it be used in the realm of recovery for, say, drugs and alcohol?
I believe it can. I do not have formal training in neuro-linguistic programming, but I do have a good friend and colleague of mine who we meet up from time to time, and you know, I kind of pick his brain, and you know, he shares some information with me. I do know that there are hypnotherapists that deal with addiction recovery-type work through hypnotherapy. It's a little bit outside of my scope of practice. I have, however, dealt with one gentleman who was having some issues with binge drinking, and he came in and we did three sessions, and that was very successful. And I also worked with a gambler once, and again, that was very successful. The primary scope of my practice, though, is smoking cessation, helping people with fears and phobias, pain management, weight release, motivation, things of that nature.
Well, it just sounds like something you could use maybe in addition to recovery. And then what you said about smoking, you know, nicotine is a drug, smoking is an addiction. So if it's in that realm, you know, I would think there's some correlation there. Smoking, I'm also a former smoker, so I'm speaking from experience, that that can be as hard, if not harder, to let go of, to release, than a drug, a street drug. You know what I mean?
I do believe you're correct there, Nancy. I have experience with, you know, some aspects of the program as well. I attended Al-Anon meetings for several years at the gentle suggestion of someone I was in a relationship with years ago, and simply because there weren't many Nar-Anon meetings around. So I went to Al-Anon meetings and was there for years, and, you know, you see a lot of people that smoke cigarettes, and, you know, we cross paths with the people that are in AA and NA, and, you know, it just seems to go hand in hand with the coffee and donuts, so to speak. But I believe it is a powerful, you know, thing to kick if you think it is. Powerful habit, and I do believe that the cigarette manufacturers have put chemicals in there to make it highly addictive. And now the big thing seems to be, you know, this vaping. And I just cringe at it because, you know, the companies, they portray it as an easy and safe way to stop smoking cigarettes. And I don't think that forcing chemicals of any nature, you know, into your lungs is a healthy thing, whatever they say. And people don't need to do that because the power of the subconscious mind is very powerful. We all have this power in our mind, and the people that have quit cold turkey, it just proves it right there. But everyone's not able to do that. Some people just need a little helping hand, and that's what I or any competent hypnotherapist does, is we get into the subconscious and we make a few changes here or there, just like a computer virus disk would make. You put it into the computer, it scans the lines of code, it makes a little tweak here or there, fixes it, the disk comes out, you put it on the shelf. And you don't have to use that disk every time you run the computer. So, that, again, that's what I or any competent hypnotherapist does. We make those changes in the subconscious mind, reinforce it several times, give the client tools to reinforce it, as well as tools to handle life down the road. So when life happens, instead of picking up a cigarette, binge eating, biting our nails, pulling our hair, whatever we do as humans, it's less than positive. Now we have some tools in the toolbox that we can utilize to nip whatever it is in the bud and, you know, go on and lead a happy and healthy life.
You know, it's interesting because I, you know, like I said, I'm in recovery. I work as a holistic health coach. One of my pet peeves in 12-step is that people, once they get away from drugs and alcohol and they get into a 12-step program where they have a sponsor, it's really all bets are off in that community. You can drink sugary drinks. You can have high energy drinks. You could eat, you know, cookies and cake and continue smoking. And most people are vaping. And so there's a lot of issues in the recovery community at large, because once they stop the drugs and alcohol, their lifestyles are just a mess. And that's what the kind of the work I do. So it's really good to hear somebody talking about that. The other piece is the vaping. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you have any research on that, on the dangers? I know that they say that what's in the juice is benign, but I don't know how that interacts when it is heated in the device.
Great points. I don't have the, you know, hard research in front of me, and it's still coming in day by day on vaping because it is fairly new. But again, I just can't see how any of that can be good to force, you know, these vapors in your lungs. I mean, it's breathe air, and that's all we put in our lungs. You know, it's just, it's not, a, you know, 12-step programs and the work that they're doing. You know, we both know they're doing fantastic work, but you have a great point about, you know, the other things. But like the saying goes, one day at a time. So I would like to see, you know, the 12-step programs utilize something where, you know, after the person gets their you know, year chip or, you know, their 3-year chip, whatever it is, and we say, okay, you've done a great job with that. Now let's look at some other ways to continue along this positive journey and make some other good healthy choices, and to incorporate, you know, health coaches, health and wellness coaches such as yourself, to get in there and start working, you know, with the sugar and, you know, the high fructose corn syrup and the gluten and the GMOs and all these things that we're putting in our body that is not good for us. I mean, just today on Dr. Oz, they had an amazing, you know, episode on all the sugar that's in soda and even juices. You know, we think as parents that, you know, we're doing our kids a good service sometimes by eliminating soda, but giving them juices. Well, some of these juices have more sugar in them than the soda. Mm-hmm. So just like anything, you have to be educated and find out what you're putting in your body.
Right. So when you work with someone for an addiction, say, whether it's, you know, food or it's smoking, and you're working with that, and I'm assuming that addiction center of the brain, those receptors, is that, you know, say I quit smoking, I'm hypnotized to quit smoking. Does that play on other areas of my brain that feed my addiction?
I have seen it do so, but typically I just work with what we call the presenting issue. So the client will come in for, you know, the initial consultation, which most likely turns into a first session that day. And we spend about a half an hour getting to know the client, finding out, you know, what's the real challenge here. And words are so important, as we learned in NLP, again, neuro-linguistic programming, is I don't like to use the word problems, because problems seems like a big, scary monster at times. I like to use the word challenges, because challenges gives us the, you know, the one thing to get over that. What's a challenge? I can meet a challenge. I've gotten over challenges before in the past, so it kind of softens it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I know what I need to tell the subconscious to make a powerful transformation, but your subconscious likes what you have to say as well. So what I do is in that initial intake is I take notes, obviously, and I select some keywords, so to speak, and key phrases, which I then weave into the word tracks that I know make positive change. And that's what I feed back to the client's subconscious during the second half of the session when they're actually in hypnosis. I do that several different times over and over in different ways. I do something called future pacing where, again, under hypnosis, I have them see themselves the next day, a week later, 3 weeks later, 2 months, 6 months, a year, in different situations where in the past they may have struggled with whatever it is they're seeing for. But now they see themselves transformed in a setting that they've been in many times before and will be again. And then I have them step into that future self and take on all those new thoughts, feelings, beliefs. And it's a very strong process. So that's what we do in the second half. And then I bring them out of hypnosis, teach them, as I said previously, these skills, these tools to help reinforce the work. And many times we have what's called a secondary game, or like a domino effect, where once you meet one challenge and overcome it, you start feeling so good, so powerful, so empowered that other things just start falling into place and fixing themselves. Now, it's not a promise or a guarantee, obviously, but I have seen it happen, and it's a beautiful thing.
Now, what about, I noticed that you said you work with people with fear and anxiety, and how does that, are you working with someone on a specific fear, like, say, fear of flying, or is it just a fearful kind of person, or just do you know what I'm saying? Like, is it specific fear and phobia, or is it just somebody that generally has fear in just dealing with their life?
In my experience, it is typically a specific fear or phobia. And a lot of times that's caused from a childhood event, but not always. And some hypnotherapists use a method where they feel they need to go back to what they call that initial sensitizing event. That's not the approach I use. I use a method called direct hypnosis, where once the client is in hypnosis, I basically tell the subconscious, look, you've been doing this or that with Joe for the last 5 years. You've been causing him to have this, say, fear of flying. And I want to cooperate with the subconscious, Nancy. I don't want to wrestle it. So I kind of give it a pat on the back on the top end, and I say, you've had your reasons for doing this, and you did a great job. But now you know. Now you know without a shadow of a doubt that this is no longer good for Joe. It's not good for Joe physically, mentally, emotionally, and if they're a spiritual person, I'll add that as well. Mm-hmm. And then I follow up to say, what is better for Joe is to have him to be a non-smoker, not an ex-smoker, but a non-smoker. Because again, Nancy, words are very powerful. So a non-smoker doesn't have withdrawals, doesn't have cravings, can be around other people that are smoking and it's not an issue. That's what they do. It's not what you do. So that's like a little snapshot of, you know, the word track that I use for that kind of session. And again, back to the fear and phobia, you know, I just had a woman come to me about a month and a half ago. She had a horrible phobia of flying, probably one of the worst that I've seen. Not just her flying, but if she had to drive past the Philadelphia airport to go to work, she would start getting anxious. If she had a friend or a family member that she knew she was flying, again, she would start to get anxious. And it was very important for this woman to get over this because, unfortunately, her son has leukemia, and they needed to fly to Los Angeles for a Make-A-Wish trip for the child. So, of course, she had to get over this to be able to have a smooth trip and to not transfer this nervousness, fear, and anxiety to her young child. So she came in for a few sessions. We did the change work. She was a terrific client as far as following the instructions that I gave her for the self-hypnosis and affirmations and so forth. And the trip went perfectly. Now, she did admit that there was a couple seconds of type of an anxious feeling during the flight, but she got there. She checked in, security, everything was fine. And when she did have that little bit of anxiousness during the flight, she simply did one of the breathing exercises that I taught her, and that just melted away. So not only was I able to help her overcome something for herself, but also for her child. And to me, that's very rewarding, just as I'm sure your work is for you.
So is it, would you say it's different for each person, whether you're working with fear, phobia, quit smoking, weight loss? Is each program that you develop for each individual a different set of number of visits, or is there a basic layout of how the sessions go?
Yes and no. There are some things that are the same right across the board as far as the direct hypnosis that I use and the visualization that takes place in the future pacing part of the session. However, things are obviously different from a smoking session to a weight loss. Typically for a smoking cessation session, you're looking at 2 to 3 sessions. You know, we need to reinforce the work, have you come back, fine-tune it. Weight loss is typically 5, sometimes 7 sessions because let's face it, we don't need cigarettes to live, but we need food to live.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not about like, you know, putting them in hypnosis and telling them to go to this certain diet. Diets don't work. Lifestyle changes work. We need a lifestyle change. So when I'm doing a weight loss session, or weight release, as I often like to call it, you know, we talk about their eating habits and what they're putting into their body again. I have certain books that I direct them towards. I have a fantastic health and wellness coach by the name of Elizabeth Cullen that I deal with. And, you know, the people that I surround myself and work with, they have to be as passionate, if not more passionate, about what they do than I do. Because, again, I want what's best for the client. It's very important to me that they have a great session and a great transformation. A lot of my business comes from referrals, and you know, it feels good when somebody comes through the door and says, you know, this or that person, you know, had such a great experience with you, and they've been telling me to give you a try. Here I am. So, yeah, there are some constants with the sessions, but there are things that are different as well. I've done sessions for fear and phobias, one session, and they're done. Again, some of that comes down to how committed and how dedicated is my client. Mm. Because some people expect a magic bullet. They think that they're going to come in and I'm going to wave a magic hypnosis wand over them and they're fixed. And it doesn't always work that way. You know, the best clients that I have the most success with are those that are truly committed to change. If a husband or wife has their spouse come in and the spouse doesn't really want it, and they're sitting in my office with, you know, arms folded and a scowl on their face, they're not going to have the kind of experience as someone that comes in and says, this is awesome. I read about hypnosis. I read your website. You know, my friend suggested I come. And when they leave, they do the follow-up work. They do their part, which is not a lot. It's 5 or 10 minutes the night of the session, 5 or 10 minutes the next morning, for up to 2 weeks to reinforce the work. And I tell my clients, some people, they do it for 2 weeks. Some people do it for 2 days. You know, you feel it inside you if you still need to do that work. And again, the great thing about the self-hypnosis and the other tools is they're yours for life. So when something happens down the road, life happens, as we like to say, now they have something that they can utilize to get on top of that and nip it in the bud.
Right. So what, and I don't want to get too into it, but how affordable is your program? Is it available to pretty much anyone? Is it, I don't want to get
too deep. It is. I work with people and I want them to, it's more about the change. Look, I have to eat and I have to pay my bills as well, but it's really about the change. And I work with people and I accept major credit cards, which these days most people, that's what they do, so they can space it out a little bit. You're going to find hypnotherapists that are cheaper than me. You're going to find hypnotherapists that are more expensive than me. So if you're shopping for price, I'm probably not your guy, but I don't know that you're going to find a hypnotherapist out there that truly cares for the client like I do. My clients are sometimes shocked when I call them back a few days later to see how they're doing, when I call them back 6 months to a year down the road to see how they're doing and find out if they're utilizing the tools. You know, you can look in newspapers and online, and you'll see these people that come into, you know, I don't want to mention any names, but they come into the hotels and, you know, they fill the banquet rooms. And they charge, you know, $49 for a stop smoking program, and they get a bunch of people in the room. Well, the challenge with that can be you're packed in a room with a bunch of other people. Most people find it somewhat difficult to relax in a room full of strangers enough to go into hypnosis to make a positive change. Those type of hypnotists, for the most part that I've seen, they're more concerned with packing the room, collecting those dollars, and then on your way out, selling you CDs and supplements in the back of the room. And then, God forbid, you have a need for them a couple days or a week later. Where are they? They're two cities or states away doing it somewhere else. I'm right here in Pennsylvania, Upper Bucks County, Montgomery County. I'm always here for my clients when they need me. And so you get what you pay for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What does a typical session look like? How long would a session take?
That's a great question. So the first session, they come into the office. I work at a Wagner Integrative Therapies on the edge of Doylestown in Buckingham, Pennsylvania. fantastic group of people and beautiful offices there, very comfortable. First session is about an hour and a half. We sit down for the first half hour, and we get to know each other because comfort is important. So again, just to touch on the previous question, it's tough to relax in a room full of people who are probably mostly strangers. I work with the person one-on-one. We're right in front of each other. We get to know each other. We get comfortable with each other. And without getting too woo-woo, there's an energy transfer there as well. There's my intention going on and me with every cell of my body wanting that person to have a wonderful transformation. So we get to know each other, get comfortable with each other. I find out what they're going through. What are you experiencing specifically? When does this happen? When is it the most intense for you? And like I said before, I'm taking notes all throughout this process. At that point, about a half an hour has gone by. We go from the consultation room into my actual office. I have a very relaxing zero-gravity type chair, goes back, very comfortable. And I use what's either called an Elman induction or a progressive muscle induction. You know, I get a lot of jokes about the pocket watch, and I can do that. It's a focus induction, but it's just not my preference. So I use this progressive type muscle induction or an Elman induction, and they're very relaxed. Some people say afterwards, it's not what I expected. And I said, well, have you been hypnotized before? They'll say no. I said, well, what do you expect? They said, well, I thought I'd be unconscious. And I just have to laugh. And I say, well, that would make my job very difficult. You know, you're not unconscious. You're just in a very relaxed state where your body is relaxed. Your mind is very relaxed, but it's also very sharp and focused. So if any of your listeners have experience with meditation, if they've had a good meditation where they've gone kind of deep, that's what hypnosis feels like. If they don't have that experience, I tell them, you know, at night when you go to sleep, that last minute right before you fall asleep where nothing else matters, you're completely relaxed. But if you heard like a doorknob or a little click or something, you'd open up your eyes. That's what hypnosis feels like. So the second, you know, again, that second half of the session, they're actually in hypnosis. I'm doing the direct change work like I covered previously, telling them, you know, you've had these types of behaviors in the past. You did a good job. Don't do that anymore. Do this instead. I reinforce it over and over in several different ways. I do the future pacing where they see themselves in these various environments that they're used to as a transformed person, experiencing these new behaviors and thought patterns and so forth. I then do a little kind of ego boost to, you know, top it off, icing on the cake, bring them out of hypnosis. Now an hour has passed. Now we go back into the consult room. I teach them the self-hypnosis, which is very simple and easy. I go over it, make sure they understand it, and then when they go home that night, they read over it a couple times so it's memorized and they can put the paper aside, close their eyes, take a couple deep breaths, go through the process, and reinforce the work that we just did in the session. And then I give them a couple other tools as well so that, again, they have, you know, a choice, because if all you have is a hammer, all your props look like a nail. So giving them different tools in the toolbox gives them a feeling of choice. And let's be honest, some things just work better for people than others. So they have a blue folder filled with these tools. They go home and they utilize the tools. First session, hour and a half. Follow-up session, we don't need that beginning part. We just need to speak for a few minutes to find out what changes have taken place. And I can start to fine-tune the session. We do the second session. We schedule the next session at the tail end. So follow-up sessions are approximately 45 minutes, sometimes an hour.
Do you use any props? I once had a friend that was hypnotized for weight loss, and she had to wear some kind of beads on her ears. They were taped, and she had to rub them. Is that hypnosis? I'm not sure.
That sounds, Nancy, that sounds more like an aspect of acupuncture. So some acupuncturists will use beads that they'll put on acupuncture points on the ear to help with cravings and so forth. I don't use anything like that. We do have a licensed acupuncturist that's been working with us for 6 years. He's phenomenal. So we do work together sometimes with clients, but I don't use anything like that. Sometimes I do create what's called an anchor for a person. So I just had an interesting client where he had a really bad gagging problem at one of our dentists here in the area. And the dentist actually came to me because he's a client of the chiropractor that I work with, Dr. Adam Wagner. And this dentist said, look, you know, I got this client and he needs a lot of work and I can't even do a cleaning without this guy gagging. Can you help him? I said, yeah, of course. So we did 3 sessions. I didn't realize it, but he went back to the dentist after the first session. So I was speaking to him on the top end of the second session, trying to create some visualization in the dentist chair to see how he would respond, testing my work, so to speak. And he ended up telling me he just went to the dentist. So I was like, oh, okay. Wow. You should have told me that up front. But anyway, so he told me about his experience. He said, I had a little tiny amount of gagging, but not much at all. You know, the doctor, Dennis, was very thrilled with the results. So we did the second and third session. And at the end of the third session, I actually created an anchor because he's going to be going back in a couple of weeks for some implants. So just to be on the safe side and give him a little bit of a bonus, even though I was very confident that he'll be fine and the work took, I wanted to give him this anchor as a bonus to come to use throughout life too. So when he was in the deepest level of hypnosis, I did some visualization and I had him reach up with his right hand and just gently tug on his right earlobe. And I told him, his subconscious mind, that any time he's feeling any type of stress or anxiety in any way, as soon as he feels that, he'll just slowly and gently reach up and tug lightly on that right earlobe, and all of that stress and anxiety will just melt away like water off a duck's back. So use that anchor, and any time he needs it, it's there. He can just pull on that, and he'll just feel relaxed and beautiful in every way.
I like that. I like that it's like, you know, something physical that you can do to reinforce, remind yourself, or, you know, a physical tool that if you're in a situation,
exactly,
you know, especially by yourself, especially, and I can completely relate to that medical piece, you know, that's a big thing for people with fears, that you have something that you can do or touch, you know what I mean? Like that, it seems very reassuring to me. Do you typically give people homework as well? What kind of like homework would a typical person receive?
I call it homework, but it's more specifically just that self-hypnosis. I teach them the self-hypnosis. If they do 5 or 10 minutes the night of the session, and the following morning for up to 2 weeks. And again, some people do it for 2 weeks, some people do it, you know, for 2 days. I guess the other homework I would give them is for my weight relief clients, I have several books that I like that are recommended, again, by Elizabeth Cullen, the health and wellness coach that I happen to work with a lot. And they're just books that help people to make better decisions so that it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. Mm. Books, certain documentaries, Forks Over Knives, Fed Up, which is about sugar, things of that nature. Also sometimes certain, you know, motivational and NLP type stuff. I had a client come to me recently for quite a number of sessions because he had several presenting issues. And, you know, towards the end, we were getting into, you know, the whole kind of motivating and, you know, stress relief and things of that nature. And, you know, gave him certain things, videos to watch and authors, you know, whether it be Eckhart Tolle or Anthony Robbins or Wayne Dyer, you know, the people that we're all, you know, kind of familiar with.
So sad about
him in a certain
Wayne.
Direction, certain authors. Yeah, yeah. He's a beautiful person. And, you know, the way I look at that is, you know, I worked with a gentleman years ago, and he said it a beautiful way. He said, we do our work here, you know, on earth so that we can graduate to heaven or to whatever the next level is that you believe in. And I really thought that was a beautiful way to put it. You know, he graduated. His work here was done, and he graduated. So it is very sad, and he will be very, very missed.
Mm. Well, you know, Wayne was really into EFT tapping. Do you use any of that in your practice?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, Nancy. I love tapping.
So do I.
More specifically, EFT. Gary Craig refined that from a clinical aspect many years ago. And the first certification course that I went to, the instructors were so impressed with tapping, more specifically again EFT, that they dedicated a half day of the course to EFT. And I watched a colleague of mine actually get over a very bad fear of needles with EFT in about 10-15 minutes. And quite honestly, it would have happened quicker if it wasn't being slowed down because it was demonstrated for the class. And I spoke with that hypnotherapist recently, and they told me that the work was tested again just recently with that person by basically putting him into a light trance and using a ballpoint pen to mimic a needle, putting it, you know, in his at his arm and just pressing against the skin a little bit, and he is still good to go. And I actually worked with a young lady. She was kind enough to give me a wonderful testimonial on my website years ago for the exact same thing. Her mother actually brought her to me because she had a horrible fear of needles. And I worked with her in just one session. And again, she was one of those perfect clients that did the homework, did that self-hypnosis, affirmations, and went to the dentist and had a great time. So, sorry, I got off subject there a little bit, but back to the EFT. I love it so much that at the end of the first or second session, I will sit the client down and I will have them watch on my iPad the 7-minute video, Introduction to Emotional Freedom Technique by Dr. Larry Craig, a very powerful video. They see what a powerful healing modality that is by the video. And then I say, are you ready to learn it? And I'm excited, and it gets them excited. And they're like, yeah. So I teach it to them right there, make sure they understand it. I give them not only a printed handout with the instructions on it, how to do the tapping on what particular points, but I also give them a chart that has all the little dots, the karate chop point to start out with, the long affirmation, as well as all the points on the body. And Nancy, I got to tell you, like I said earlier in the interview, one, you know, every 6 months, a year, whatever, I call my clients back to follow up. And one of the things I ask them towards the end of that conversation is, you know, I gave you some tools in that blue folder that you can use whenever you want. Do you use any of those tools? And often the answer is yes. And then I find too much. I say, well, what tool do you use? 9 out of 10 times, it's the EFT. I had one woman tell me she taps every day. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this poor woman, what's going on? She might need another session or two. So I said, well, why are you tapping every day? You know, and I should take a lesson from her because I need to think more positively because she said, I just tap to be happy. And I said, that's beautiful. Keep it up. So, yes, big fan of EFT.
Yeah, I use it, especially the karate chop. Like, if I'm in a situation where I get nervous or afraid, I'll just do that. And it's very funny because people who know it will say something to me. But most people look at me like, what are you doing? And then, because I'll just tap my hand and, or sometimes my index to my thumb finger as a little baby tap that nobody can see.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, are you tapping? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that.
That's so funny. I've never been called out. I've never been called out like that myself on that, but that's cool. yeah, I've used it myself. I have friends and family that utilize it. A year ago, I had an abscessed tooth. I was at an 8 on the SUD scale, so intensity 1 to 10, for those that aren't familiar with the SUD scale. 10 is the most intense. I tell my clients, 1 is no big deal. 10 is you're running down the street pulling your hair out. What's your number? So we work off that number, as you well know. And I was at about an 8 with this abscessed tooth in the waiting room of the dentist office, and I'm tapping away. And I tell my clients this story all the time. I said, yeah, I wasn't that far from the receptionist window, and I didn't care because I wanted to bring the pain down or eliminate it, depending on how much time I had to wait before I got back in the chair. And I was down to a 4 or 5 by the time I went back in the chair, and it just made the whole process a lot easier for myself, the dentist, the hygienist, everybody that I was working with. I tell my clients, say it out loud when you can, but you know, if you're at work and you need to slip away into like a little conference room or something, or at a restaurant in the men's room, you can say it in your head and tap. I've tapped while driving, not while driving, but at a red light or in traffic. And yes, as you well know, it works great.
Yeah, it is really cool. One of the other things I noticed on your website was that you offer some Reiki and reconnective healing. Can you talk a little bit about those modalities as well?
Well, I can. I have to be honest with you, though. So here's the story on all that. Years ago, when I first got my certification in hypnotherapy, I was going to the Allentown Library for some lectures by a group called Summit Lighthouse. And in one of those early lectures, a woman next to me asked a question about Reiki. And I'm like, you know, I keep hearing this word Reiki. It's all over my radar. What is it? So I asked her afterwards, and she explained it to me, you know, cliff notes. And she said, do you mind if I do a body scan? And I really didn't know what that was, but I said, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. So she did this body scan. And I've had some issues with my knees in the past, not serious, but just little aches and pains here or there. She picked up right away on that. So I wanted to test her because I'm very open-minded, but I also have a healthy dose of skepticism because you have to. There's a lot of things out there that aren't on the up and up, and, you know, you don't want to be bamboozled, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, yeah, okay, you pick that up. I said, Is the pain the same level in both knees, or is one worse than the other? And right away she said that the right one's worse than the left. And I was like, wow, okay, there's something to this here. So she said, listen, I think with your training in hypnotherapy, this would be a good modality to add, so that when your clients are in hypnosis, you know, obviously with their permission, you can draw symbols and you can send energy and so forth. And I said, all right, I'm listening. So she said, why don't you come to my house for one Reiki session? That way you can get a taste of it and go from there. I said, all right, let's do this. So about a week or two later, I go to her house in Lehigh Valley, and she has a healing room, and I go in the healing room, I lay down, and, you know, she starts doing this work, and right away I can feel something. I don't know what it is, but I feel something. And in a matter of no time, all our pets are all over me. She's got these couple cats, the dog, and I'm like, is this Reiki or am I Dr. Doolittle? What's going on here? So I later find out that the animals are drawn to the energy. So that's why they were on me. And, you know, I've always been, you know, great with animals anyway. So she does a session, and I said, man, that's pretty cool. She says, yeah, we're doing, you know, this Reiki training coming up. You know, would you be interested? I'll send you some information. So that was a Sui Reiki, which is the most, I would say, popular form of Reiki. So I went and I got my level 1 and then level 2 in a Sui Reiki. And then, I don't know, 6-8 months later, they approached me with a different form of Reiki, Shambhala Reiki. And that's a little bit different, where traditional, like the Sui Reiki, you will draw symbols in the air or on the body, and you'll kind of like push them into the body, and then you'll do, you know, a hands-on, or it can even be transmitted you know, a couple inches from the body. My hands are like heating up just talking about it now. But it's a very powerful healing modality. It's thousands of years old, and it's wonderful. So I did the level 2 Asui Reiki, and I did the level 2 Shambhala Reiki. And I've done Reiki for years now, and I've found it to be very beneficial for people. However, back in 2010, my mom gave me this book called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself by Dr. Eric Pearl. I read this book, and it blew me away so much that I put it on a bookshelf and went, I got to step away from this. And I kind of forgot about it for a while. But then spirit, universe, whatever you want to call it, just started knocking again. Because if you don't listen, they keep knocking. Mm. And it kept putting this reconnected healing back on my radar. I would see Dr. Pearl at Mind Body Spirit Expos. I'd see him on TV. And I'm like, I got to check this out. So ended up reading the book a second time. Meeting Dr. Pearl a couple times at the Mind, Body, Spirit Expos, the lectures, having them show me the energy in my hands. You know, they straddle your hands like bookends, and they transmit the energy through it. And it's very tangible, and you can feel it. And it, to me, it was like a piece of dental floss infused with light energy that they were pulling back and forth through the center of my hands, which some of your listeners may know, you have chakras in your hands. So I was like, this is just craziness. I got to learn how to do this, especially after reading the book, you know, a couple times and it just being all over my radar. So I just went back at the end of July, early August of this year, to Philadelphia, and I received my level 2 training and certification as a reconnective healing foundational practitioner. And this course blew me away. I mean, I totally drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, and I use this every day. If I'm not working on a client with reconnected healing, I'm just playing with it in my hands. I'm doing self-healing. And listen, I love Reiki. I don't want to, you know, rustle anybody's feathers out there. I think it's powerful stuff, but I feel this is the next level. And the way I look at it is, you know, we go to grade school, you know, we go to high school, we go to college. When we graduate college, we don't say, let me go back to sixth grade again. We kind of take off the training wheels, so to speak. So I, in my heart, believe that this is a higher level of healing. And this is what I do now. Reconnected healing brings in a full spectrum of light, energy, and information. What that does is it affects one's consciousness and awareness, and it creates a state of connectedness and oneness. And it actually works with your DNA to help rebalance all aspects of your mind, body, and spirit that can promote healing on all levels. I've felt this. I've seen it. The final day of our training, I was lucky enough to be one of 14 in a class of, you know, about 150, that they brought 14 people in off the streets of Philadelphia and told them nothing more than, it's a new healing modality, would you like a free session? And I worked with this gentleman, and he experienced the energy, and other people did as well. There was a gentleman that was on another table. He got off the table and looked at his feet and started jumping up and down. And the person working with him said, what are you doing? And he goes, this is nuts. I had 2 fused ankles from a skydiving accident years ago in pain and discomfort every day. And he's like jumping up and down. He goes, they seem fine now. And I've had similar situations just in the short time that I've been doing this. Dr. Art Pearl says, you know, if you're lucky, your healing will come in a way that you had hoped. If you're really lucky, your healing will come in a form you've not even dreamed of, one that the universe had in mind just for you. And I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
Mm.
And for the clients that are, you know, most people are open to this type of stuff that come to me. But some of them just want, like, you know, is there any research? Is there any this and that? And I say, actually, there is. I just brought back this book from the training, Science Proves Reconnective Healing. So there are actually, I'm going to say 12 to 14 scientific studies, research that's been performed and documented. I believe four of them are international. There's been people with PhDs, double PhDs, that brought equipment into rooms that could measure the energy in the room before the practitioners came in. It was already higher than in most rooms. They thought there was something wrong with the equipment. They recalibrated the equipment. It was still running kind of high. They said, whatever, let's do this. Eric and his team came in. They did some work with people. The numbers were off the charts. The energy in that room was, I believe they said, equivalent to about 700 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, we know no one could survive in a room that hot. So the room wasn't that hot, but the energy was that strong. Lights flicker, things happen, and it doesn't follow the old healing modalities where you have to take off jewelry. There's no special ceremonies. You just do the work, and universal intelligence brings in these frequencies and works within the field. We're all in the field, and it restructures. Like I said, it works with DNA, and amazing things happen. So I love it, and I look forward to doing it for the rest of my life and, you know, at some point going for that level three to learn how to do the actual reconnection.
Is it new, Chaz? Is it a new modality? Because I have to tell you, when you started talking about it, like, you keep getting messages from the universe. This is the second time I've heard about it this week. Yeah.
It is a fairly new healing modality. Dr. Pearl was a very, very good chiropractor in L.A., and some interesting things happened to him, and he started to do this work in the mid-90s. So overall, it's a new healing modality, but it has been going on since the mid-90s. I highly recommend the book to everyone. They can get it on TheReconnection.com, Dr. Eric Pearl's website. They can get it at Barnes & Noble. It's $15. And it's funny because I started feeling the energy, the frequencies, just by reading the book. And other people that I know have had this experience. And he tells you, Dr. Pearl tells you in the book, you don't have to come for the live training. He gives you exercises in the back of the book that you can start playing with this energy. We feel it, when we find it, we feel it, we stretch it. And the exercises are in the back of the book, and anyone can learn this. I'm not special, he's not special, we're all special. We all have access to this healing modality. You can buy the book for $15 and learn how to do it. The training is if you want to accelerate it. You want hands-on in a room of a couple hundred people. You want Eric and his team to come around and work with you and tweak what you're doing. They initially teach you, I don't even want to say techniques, but you have to learn somehow. So they teach you kind of some techniques, and then you just kind of free flow and go with it and do it. So if you're looking to, you know, really be immersed in the frequencies too, that's the other thing. When you have 200 people in a room that are all doing this, obviously that's a higher frequency than you sitting in your living room playing with the energy yourself. And also someone like myself that, you know, does transformational and healing work for a living, I wanted to go to the level two. Level one teaches you how to do it. You can work with it with yourself. You can work with your friends and family. But if you want to integrate it into a professional practice, you do the following course, a level two, so that you can do that in your practice. So that's what that training is for. I gifted the book to a massage therapist in the Lehigh Valley that does a lot of different modalities. And she called me about a week later and goes, what is going on with this book? And I just laughed because I knew. But I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, things are happening. I'm reading this book and I'm feeling something and I'm doing these sessions and they're kind of ramped up a little bit. And I said, yep. Jump on in, go down the rabbit hole, you know, finish the book, do the exercises in the back, and hopefully someday you can go get the training too, because I think you're drawn to it. So
wow.
That's my story.
Wow, that's amazing. And just for you know, those listening out there, I'm going to put Chaz's information on my Facebook page. It's facebook.com Wellness and Recovery. I'm also going to have all of your contact information, email, website, and phone number, which is www.thirdeyehypnosis.com. And Chaz's phone number is 215-915-1737. And email is chaz@thirdeyehypnosis. And it looks like you have two offices, Doylestown, Hyde Park, and then Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Is that correct?
That's correct. Doylestown is my main office at Wagner Integrated Therapies. Fantastic group of people there. Adam is a wonderful chiropractor. He gets a lot of referrals from, you know, pain management people in the area, you know, top docs. We have a wonderful massage therapist, acupuncturist. We have a gentleman who teaches Qigong classes. It's just a wonderful place. I am very grateful to be working out of there. Fort Washington is just a smaller little satellite office, and I'm currently in final negotiations for a third office in Malvern on Lancaster Ave.
All right. That's amazing. I'm, like I said, I'm going to put that up on the City of Angels website on the Wellness and Recovery. And City of Angels offers assistance to those who suffer from drug and alcohol addiction, helping to find treatment and provide after-treatment emotional support and a safe meeting place. City of Angels is the first ever all-volunteer community organization and maintains a no-charge policy for support services. If you or someone you know needs help with substance abuse, please contact us. Our website is cityofangelsnj.org. That's cityofangelsnj.org. This show will air every Tuesday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for topics for upcoming shows, please message me on facebook.com/wellnessandrecovery. Please tune in next week for my follow-up with Ariel Breyer on juicing. Ariel just completed a 42-day juice fast. She will be back in to fill us in on her adventure. And to find out more about me and my wellness program, please visit cherryhillhealthcoach.com. And you can sign up for a free health consultation with me. I'm available via consultation, via Skype, telephone, and in person. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you again, Chaz, for coming out tonight. And be good to yourself. Good night.
Thank you so much, Nancy. I really appreciate the time, and have a phenomenal evening. God bless you and all your listeners.
You too. Thank you so much.